Dear friends and family of our Savior's Lutheran Church, on this first Sunday of a brand new year, 2025, I pray God's grace, peace, and mercy upon you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Once again, I wish and pray for each and every one of you a very happy and blessed new year. As we say in Madagascar, the land of my birth, may all the bad and worst things in life be filed away and be forgotten in the past year. And may God's blessings, good health, and good fortunes overwhelm you with his grace throughout this year. And may all God's people say, amen. Absolutely. Yes, we are indeed 5 days into this new year. And I'm reminded once again of how I like beginnings. Does anybody else like beginnings of things? Or the start of something? I love it. As a matter of fact, I dare say that I love beginnings more than endings. Oh, sure, of course, you know, I like the end of a football game when the Minnesota Vikings win. Who does not like that? I like the endings of a good movie or a good mystery novel. But when it comes down to calendar years, I absolutely love the start of a new year. I love the beginning more than the ending of a year. Now, perhaps it's because it's new. Who does not like new things? Especially if it's new and good things. Perhaps it's because it feels to me anyway like a blank canvas, awaiting for opportunities and possibilities to be painted upon it. Or perhaps I like beginnings because to me it reminds me and it affirms within me of the previous year, in this case 2024, and it tells me and it reminds me that all the mistakes and all the things that I messed up in is our history. I love the start of a brand new year. All the mistakes, the foibles, all the things, the shoulda, coulda, woulda, are now history. They're old. The old is gone. The new has come. Now, having said that, I'm sure some of you were somewhat puzzled or surprised to come to church this morning to discover that we're still singing Christmas hymns, when especially Christmas trees in many homes and have been packed away or thrown on the curb, especially when decorations, the sparkly and glittery decorations, have all been put away, and the credit card bills have come in or on their way. But why are we still Christmasing? Well, according to our liturgical calendar, we get one last view of Christmas today, since the season of Epiphany does not start until tomorrow. So technically and liturgically, we are still in Christmas mode. We are still celebrating the birth of the Son of God, the light of the world. And we are still reflecting on what it means that the light of the world was born into a world of darkness. Now, many of us are very familiar with how Luke's gospel tells the story of that first Christmas. It's the one that many of us love to hear. It's the one that tells about the details of what took place. Luke's gospel is the one that tells us about the angels, the mangers, the shepherds, the wise guy or the wise men, and all the others. He provides us the sort of the details that we can actually imagine being there. It's the story of Christmas that we all love to hear and that we all never get tired of hearing. But the Apostle John wrote his gospel in a whole different way when it comes to the Christmas story. John's gospel is not wrong about Christmas, it's just different. John begins his account of Christmas with three simple words. In the beginning. In the beginning. In other words, for John, Jesus didn't just start at Christmas. Jesus has always been. In the beginning, before there were people, before there were houses, before the universe itself has ever been created, Jesus has always been. Long before there was even a Bethlehem, Jesus was. Jesus was with God. In fact, we believe that he was the living Word of God who created, who fashioned, who shaped, and who molded the world, the cosmos, the universe before anything else existed. This is what we believe about Jesus. This is what we read from the Gospel of John. See, John tells us and John teaches us that Jesus was and is God. Now, I realize it's a concept that is so huge that our finite and limited minds has difficulty grasping it. I mean, think about how is it that this God, who was God, who is with God, who created all that there is, ended up being born a human. He subjected himself to our human experience, where he knew and lived with things like hunger, anger, where he exhibited tendency to be hangry, along with pain and suffering, temptations and exhaustions, and the whole experience of being human, and yet he's still 100% God. How can we reconcile that in our minds, in our limited and finite ways? He lived, we're told in Scripture. He lived and he walked on the earth for some 30-some years. Walked on the earth, the very planet and the very universe that he himself created. How do we make sense of that in our own minds? But John goes on and tells us that most people back then, and I dare say even today, 21st century, most people back then did not know, did not recognize who he was. That's what John's gospel says. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, but the world did not know or did not recognize him. You know, I read a story once about President Bill Clinton, who, as many of you may recall, loved to jog. He was a jogger. And in one of his many visits to Minnesota, he one morning decided to go jogging at Como Park, a park that I know and Hunter know well. And as he got out of his limousine, wearing his gray sweat suit, President Clinton went out a few yards away to stretch. At the same time, an elderly couple happened to pass by on their morning walk, and President Clinton had his back toward them, so they did not see him. They did not recognize him. This couple were within inches away from the most powerful man in the free world, and they didn't even know it. That's the sort of oblivious condition in which people of the first century lived in. God was in the world. The Emmanuel, the God with us, and yet the world did not know him. I wonder how many people that you associate with, that you carouse with, that you are acquainted with, that you every now and then connect with, how many of them truly know that God is in the world, that he came in the flesh? John wrote that he came to his own people and they would not accept him. Most people just did not have a clue as to who this child born in Bethlehem is or was. Sure, they thought he was a great, wise teacher. Many of them thought and admired his teachings, and many of them relished his miraculous deeds. But they did not know who he was. Some said he was a troublemaker. Others said he was a prophet. A few recognized him as God, but for the most, they were clueless. But John wrote saying, to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave them power. He gave them the right to become children of God. See, that's what Jesus came to do. It's a wonderful reminder of what Christmas is all about. And what Easter is all about. It's what Jesus came to do. From the very beginning, that was the plan. From the very start, that was God's plan for all humanity. To call all people to become children of God. He would come into the world to love and, yes, to die for all people so that they may be called children of God. And so, all who follow him, all who believe in him are no longer strangers to God. And that is the amazing grace about it all. Though we were once strangers, enemies of God, Paul says, but through Christ, now we're children of God. Friends, in this new year, a time for new beginnings. Yes, some of us are going to begin our diets tomorrow. That's always the best time to begin a diet. Tomorrow. Just FYI. Others of us are starting school or starting a new job or starting retirement. Still others are beginning more difficult chapters in their lives, like starting life over after a death of a loved one or a divorce. Some are starting the new year with a life-threatening illness. But here's the good news. Stephanie said it to the children, and I say it again. Here's the good news. None of us starts this new year alone. Not when we believe in Jesus Christ. Because he has promised to be with us every day, particularly in this coming year. The next 360 days, we will trust that he will accompany us, that he will be with us all the way through, 24/7. And because of his promise, we get to experience God. We get to experience God here at our Savior's and wherever we roam. Yes, this year, 2025, we are going to focus on and tune in on how to experience God, how to fully experience God, in which we know is part and parcel of our vision and mission statement here at our Savior's. In case you've forgotten what that is in the bulletin cover that you received this morning, but also that it's important for me to reiterate that our desire as a congregation and our mission as the Church of Jesus Christ is for all people to fully experience God here among us as well as wherever we are. So friends, for the remainder of this new year, again, for the next 360 days, it is my hope, it is my prayer, and it is my expectation that everyone who is connected to, everyone who's plugged into, everyone who's associated with, and everyone who is a member of this congregation to be able to know, to grow, and to feel, and to touch, and to sense, and to most of all experience the very presence, love, and power of God in and through this congregation. Amen? You are not convinced. And friends, when you do experience God in some way, I hope that you would indeed share that experience of God with others. I hope that you take the time to discern and to truly enjoy in sharing how God manifested his love, his joy, his peace, his healing, his restoration in your life, upon you. Please be willing to share that experience with others, for it will surely bless them as it will bless you. I guarantee you that. After all, Jesus did tell us that no one lights a candle and put it under a bushel, but instead, we should let our light so shine that others will see the good works that we're about. Others will experience the God that we believe in, and others will then be led to praising and worshiping and glorifying the Lord our God. This year, everything and anything that we intend and endeavor to accomplish will always be with the backdrop of how will we experience God in this, whatever it is that we do. How is God experienced, realized, manifested in all that we endeavor to do for the next 360 days? And if we don't have an answer to that, then we'd pray for it. We'd ask for God's answer. That's what we have in store for this new year, that we fully experience God's joy, compassion, presence, love, and power. And then we invite others to experience that with us. Now, I know there are a lot of curmudgeon Lutherans around the world. Our Savior is not spared of that reality. If you, by whatever reason, are not able to experience the very presence, the love, the grace of God here at Our Savior's or wherever you roam, I pray that you take the time to pray for it. That you ask God to reveal His very presence in your life. It's the only way that you will know that you will experience God. If you, by whatever reason, feel that you're not experiencing God, let me know. We will figure it out. But it is important that we know, that we recognize the God among us, lest we be like the people in Jesus' time, when the God, the Emmanuel, was with them, and they did not recognize Him in the least. Friends, John's Christmas message is clear, that all who receive and believe in the name of Jesus, He gives power, He gives the right to become children of God. And as children of God, we will surely and truly experience our Father's love, power, provision, mercy, and peace. That is what we have to look forward to in 2025. I hope you're ready to experience God in new and amazing ways. Amen.